Shortly after Norm and I got married, we moved to a little town in Ohio, Hillsboro, Ohio, outside of Cincinnati. And that's my first full-time work, as we sometimes say it. And it was a nice little congregation. We had a very small building, and it was almost full. Later, they built another building to accommodate the growth there. But we had a gospel meeting with a fellow by the name of Paul Andrews. Now, I don't know if any of you ever knew Brother Paul Andrews or not. Some of you, I see Joanne kind of smiling and nodding. But he was a fixture in Tampa, Florida for many years. And Paul was a friend of mine. We had him up for a gospel meeting. And I'll never forget it. That little meeting house was absolutely packed. And we had chairs out. It was a small little meeting house anyway. And it would probably hold 100. And we had 120-some that morning. I mean, we had chairs out. We had them in the amen corner. I mean, we're all scrunched up. And the singing was incredible. Just raised the roof. Well, Paul got up, and in his own kind of Alabama country way, he goes, "Oh, I tell you. Oh, the singing sure was good. Oh, I really enjoyed it." But he says, "You know, I was sitting down there by old Ken, and I noticed that he got one note and stuck with it all the way through." Now, that might have been a little exaggeration, maybe not much. I'm not a great singer. I like music. I love to be a part of singing. I listen to music, but that is not one of my top 10 gifts when you think about things that I'm good at. But I tell you what, this morning, we're going to get one note and stick with it all the way through. And that note's singing. There are a lot of things that are important as we come together this morning. Certainly the Lord's Supper is obviously extremely important. And prayer and our contribution and teaching and all of these things have value. But singing is something that is vitally important. And so whether I'm good at it or not, or have a great melodious voice or not, or whether or not I'm going to be on the Grand Ole Opry or not, or something like that, didn't make any difference. That what we want to see this morning is singing is important to worship. So what we've been trying to do this month, as we are having this theme, 30 Days of Praise, is individually each day think of things that we can praise God for. And then on our Sunday services, we've been emphasizing our praise and worship. The first Sunday, we talked about the importance of worship and the attitude of worship. And then we talked about, in fact, William had the lesson, had to do with prayer and worship. There was emphasis on prayer that day. And then last Sunday, we talked about the Lord's Supper and the importance of that. And so this morning, we want to conclude the month, and we want to think about singing. Now, there are several passages that deal with this. It's not just one. So let's kind of read these together. First of all, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And then we have the passage in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul said, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 and 16, Paul wrote, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding." And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Hebrew writer pen, "For both he who sanctifies and those that are being sanctified are of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." And so this morning, we want to think about singing and worship. Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, we certainly welcome you, and we're glad you've come to be in our assembly. This is not the normal approach that we take, where I preach and we sing and I preach and we sing. And so this is the first time we've done this here. And when we get done, you may think this ought to be the last time. I don't know. But what I want to do is take these passages that we've read, and I want to ask three simple questions. And as we go through and we think about the importance of our singing and the how and the what and the why of our singing, then Ryan is going to come up at appropriate times and is going to sing a song or lead us in a song. Really, he's not going to do a solo, but he's going to lead us in a song that will illustrate that particular scriptural point. And so that will be the mode for the next 30 or 35 minutes of our worship service this morning. The first question we want to ask and answer from these scriptures is, what should we sing? And we read both in the Ephesian and the Colossian passage that we are to sing psalms. Now, I think there's little doubt from our record of secular history and from the early church fathers and so forth that the first Christians literally took the book of Psalms and they sang these psalms. Now, I don't know that we have any recorded record of exactly how they did that or they set that in music in some way. It has been suggested through history that a lot of times these were probably chants that they did. We have songwriters today that have taken some of these psalms and they have set them to the four-part harmony that we traditionally sing in our assemblies today. And so we have a number of examples of those. But they were probably literally inspired psalms that are very natural psalms of praise and devotion and exaltation to God. And so when you look at the book of Psalms, this is the closest thing that we have to an inspired hymn book. You have Psalm 148, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. We sometimes sing that. Or there's a couple different versions of the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is my shepherd. And there are a lot of other examples that we could use of literally singing the Psalms. I want us to sing this morning this familiar song, I Will Call Upon the Lord. It's taken from Psalm 18. And as Ryan leads us in that, let's think about the words of this and put our heart into it as we call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
Well, the second thing in both the Ephesian and Colossian passage that we are commanded to sing hymns. Hymns are just simply songs of praise and thanksgiving and supplication. They certainly could be poems or uninspired songs. And the distinction here may be a little less clear. And some think that the hymn is just simply any type of spiritual song or psalm or whatever that we might sing. In fact, sometimes we talk about taking our hymn book. But they certainly seem to have an idea of things that have to do with praise and devotion and exalting God. Some examples of hymns might be Holy, 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 or Great is Thy Faithfulness, or How Great Thou Art. And these are hymns that we sing, and as we think about the words, that we praise God. The one that we've chosen this morning is an example of a hymn for us to think about, is My Jesus, I Love Thee.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies are sin, I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I sing of Thee for wearing the thorn on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Well, the third category, when we answer the question, what should we sing, it says is spiritual songs. Both the Colossians and the Ephesian passage says that. So these are the three kinds of songs: psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The spiritual song are certainly inspirational kind of songs. They are songs that are designed to edify or admonish or teach. A spiritual song, now you think about the profundity now, Clinton, of what I'm about to say. A spiritual song is based on spiritual things. Now, am I mining the depth of wisdom when I say that or what? But you know, that eludes sometimes folks when you visit worship services in different places, or the notions that folks have. The happy birthday is not a spiritual song. We don't sing happy birthday to folks in worship. That's not a spiritual song. Or the Star Spangled Banner is not a spiritual song. And there might be a lot of other examples of songs that might even have great inspirational meaning. There are a lot of country songs that I like that have good thoughts, good inspirational kind of thoughts, but they're not really spiritual songs. A spiritual song is based upon spiritual things. And there's a lot of songs that are under that kind of category. And some of these, I kind of think of them a little bit. Now, the song leaders, I'm not sure if you would agreement with me on this, but I kind of think of them like a lot of the songs in our supplemental book are kind of spiritual songs, or the Stamps Baxter songs, a lot of them are spiritual songs. This new book that you have, or at least it's new to me, has a lot more spiritual songs in it than some other kind of books. So the one that I kind of like that we sing this pretty well here, I think, is Don't You Want to Go to That Land. Now, that is a spiritual song, and we want to sing it in a spirited way. So, Ryan, I think this is a stand-up song. Yeah, let's all stand up, and we're going to put our heart into it, our voices into it, and we're going to sing it, Ryan, with you in a spirited way.
Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Want to go to that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound? Nothing but love in that land, nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Nothing but love in that land, nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. I've got a Savior in that land, I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. I've got a Savior in that land, I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound.
Amen. Well, how should we sing? With the Spirit. And I think that last song, we put the Spirit into that song. And that's the way we ought to sing all of our songs, whether they're spiritual songs or psalms or hymns or whatever, that we are singing with the Spirit. This refers to the inner person. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the very essence of worship. That Jesus said in John 4, 23 and 4, that God is Spirit, and those that worship Him should worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then He said to the Samaritan woman that the Father is seeking such to worship Him. This is the idea in Ephesians 5, 19, where it says to make melody in the heart. This is the idea of putting our spirit, making melody in the heart. Now, sometimes you hear it advance at the word sing, and it does come from the word solo in the Greek language. And the word solo literally means to pluck the strings. And I've heard people say, well, that shows that we ought to have instrumental music because you have strings. Well, they missed the point of that passage. The strings that we pluck are the heart strings. We solo the heart, making melody in your heart, not harp, heart to the Lord. And so we sing with spirit. But not only that, we sing with the understanding that we must understand what we sing. Now, I told Ryan that I thought about us picking out a song that no one knew anything about it when I'd explain it, but I thought, well, that might get into some area I don't want to get into this morning. But there are songs like that that probably there may be a word in it that needs an explanation. That we may sing these, and especially the younger people that are not familiar with some of them, like the song, Come Thou Fount of Ever Blessing, Here I Raise My Ebenezer. Well, that goes back to an Old Testament passage in the book of Samuel, and you'll have to look that up. Maybe we'll preach on that sometime. That's a good song. But there are words, Night with Ebon Pinion. Ebon Pinion, what about that? So there are different old songs that have words in them that we would be well to have explained if we're going to sing with the understanding. But aside from that, there can be words that we really understand quite well that we may not sing with the understanding. You say, well, how could we have words that are simple, easy to understand words we don't sing with the understanding? Because we got our mind somewhere else. Because we're thinking about dinner or ball or some activity or some vacation or some other kind of thought that's crossed our mind. And so we can mouth the words. You know, we might even, George, mouth them with a lot of spirit and raise the roof in singing and not even stop and think about the lyrics. So God wants us to make melody in our heart and sing with spirit, but he also wants us to sing with understanding and think about what it is that we are saying and what it is that we're singing, and to sing in a way that we understand it. So Ryan has chosen this song, Sing and Be Happy. And this is a good selection, Ryan, because it's such a familiar song that if we're not careful, we can just sing it on autopilot and not stop and think about the application in our lives. And not stop and think about there are times when the skies are gray. And there's times when we are down and depressed and we deal with problems and trials. And yet we are called upon to be able to deal with that with the right kind of spirit and attitude. And this song speaks to that. And so let's sing with spirit and understanding. Sing and be happy.
Let's stand and sing again for this song. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Well, that leads us then to our final question, number 3, and that's, why should we sing? And there are at least 3 answers that we find in the scriptures that we read that answer this question, why we should sing. Number 1, it is an opportunity to praise God. In each one of the passages, it really speaks of the idea of praising God. In fact, the expression "to the Lord" is found in 5:19 of Ephesians and Colossians 3:16. The psalmist said in Psalm 100 in verses 1 and 2, to make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. I hope it's not lost on us in this exercise this morning, in this worship this morning, that singing is a part of worship, and that singing, as well as all other worship, is Godward. It is Godward. And so, as we're going to see, there's other reasons why we sing, but let us not lose sight of the fact that the first reason and the most important reason is that we come together and we sing as a way to exalt and to worship and to glorify God. And so we want to sing this song together, Glorify Thy Name.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name.
Well, we sing not only and primarily to praise God, but the Bible teaches, and we read a while ago, that it is a time to teach and to encourage one another in the Word that we might learn what God would have us to do. We teach one another, Colossians 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26 said, let all things be done for edification. And one way in which we're edified is through the Word. We are edified through teaching. Now, we typically think of teaching as what I'm doing when I preach, or what occurs in a Bible class. And yet those two passages in both Ephesians and Colossians clearly teach that teaching and edification can take place through singing. That teaching builds and it edifies and it grows the church. And there are many great psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that teach wonderful truths. In fact, when you think about facts, sometimes I've actually done, I thought about doing it this morning, is one approach. You can do a sermon and song. You can take a topic and take the points, and every point, find a song that illustrates that song. And so when we sing, we ought to stop and think that we're teaching one another. In fact, it says in that text, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we're not only speaking to God and praising to God, we're speaking to one another. Now, may I just stop here and say parenthetically that if you're not singing, you're not praising God, and you're not teaching me anything. You're not speaking to me. Speak to me when you sing. Someone said, well, Ken, I'm kind of like you. I'm not a great singer. That's okay. I'm not either. We'll not be great singers together. But you know what we'll be doing together? Praising God, teaching and admonishing one another. We'll be doing that. And so let's think about this song, A Beautiful Life. This song teaches us some things that we need to do when we go out of this assembly.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my life must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. So for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. I life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
Well, the third reason the Bible says we should sing is to admonish one another. The word admonish means to exhort or to warn. And the scriptures certainly warn us of any number of dangers, and they exhort us to faithfulness. They exhort us to do God's will. And so exhortation is a form of teaching, but it's a little bit stronger. It's a little bit forceful, more forceful, to call upon us to get us to think about something that we ought to be doing, that we need to think about that and to exhort us and admonish us to do that. And so this would be a good one to think about. And Steve mentioned the invitations that we give out to people. Will you not tell it today? Will you not talk to other people, share the gospel with other people, invite other people, study with other people? This is a song that we're going to sing. It's going to teach us something, and we're going to praise God with it, but we're going to talk to one another. Talk to me. Let's speak to one another and ask the question, will you not tell it today?
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if His care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, if a strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if the hope of a rest in His palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today?
Well, singing and worship honors God, it edifies others, but you know it helps you and I to grow. It helps you and I be more what God would have us to be. And I think if we will take this sentiment of our worship this morning, that hopefully we can come away with the realization that singing is a vital, important part of our worship service, and that each one of us can desire and have a willingness in our heart to do the very best that we're able to do as we come together to worship and in the singing part of our service. I hope that what we put together this morning has been edifying to you. I certainly hope it's honored and praised God, and that we can come away with a better appreciation. Well, we're going to close, and the song that we have is Jesus is Tenderly Calling. You know, in our country, we typically sing a song to conclude a service like this. We call it an invitation song. I think it's scriptural to do that. I don't know that it's mandatory. I doubt if in Acts 2 they had an invitation song after Peter's sermon. But in our country, we typically do that. You know, in Revelation, it says the bride and the Spirit invite. The Spirit invites people to come to Christ through the Word. Who's the bride? The church. So the church invites people. And I extend an invitation. I invite you through the Word to come to Christ, to obey the gospel, and through faith, repentance, and baptism to become a Christian. But you know, the entire church invites when we sing a song like this, that we are singing and not only praising God for what He's done through Jesus, we're not only teaching and admonishing one another with this song, but we're literally inviting. And we're saying to those of you that may be in the pew, that may be present this morning and have never named the name of Jesus, that have never become a baptized believer in Christ and had your sins washed, we're literally inviting you in our singing. We're speaking to you. You say, well, that's kind of personal. We want you to take it personal. And you know what, brethren? We need to sing it that way. We really do. We don't need to be fiddling around thinking, well, it's the end of the service and kind of getting all of our stuff together because we know it's toward the end. Or think we're kind of sung out by now, or I don't know, any other kind of thing that may be in our mind. What about someone that may be next to you, in front of you, behind you that's not a Christian? They want you to encourage them, and you need to encourage them. Speak to them. Speak to them. And so as we conclude our service with this song, we want to encourage you to come to Christ and tell you that Jesus is tenderly calling. Well, together we stand and sing.
Don't be so. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away, calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today, Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling. Tenderly calling today, Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice, hear him today, they who believe in his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away, calling today. Is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, as we humbly approach thy throne of grace. We want to thank you for this wonderful and glorious day that you've given us here on this side of eternity. Lord, we are thankful for Brother Ken's lesson this morning and Brother Ryan for leading the singing. Father, it was uplifting to us and encouraging to us, and we hope that our worship here this morning was in spirit and truth to you. Lord, just be with us here at Hickman as we continue to grow and to, you know, spread your word to the surrounding community. Help us to, you know, do what we can to be a part and help in that. Father, help us to encourage one another and strengthen one another when the needs and opportunities arise. We know we have needs in this congregation, and help us to step up to those needs and help one another in their time of need. Father, we are so thankful for our visitors this morning and their willingness to come here and to worship with us. And we just pray that they were encouraged and uplifted as we were, and to, you know, encourage them to come back the next time that we have allotted. Father, just be with us this morning as we, you know, leave here. Help us to, you know, be the good Christian examples to those around us in our everyday lives, and help us to, you know, return with the same amount of, you know, energy and encouragement that we had here this morning. Father, we are so thankful for your Son and, you know, everything he does for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.